let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, we so fly. Yeah. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, we so fly. Yeah. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me A.
Yo, I don't know if you guys can see me or not. Can you guys see me? Yo, I don't know what's going on right now. I'm sure you can hear me. I don't know why you cannot see me. So let's do something else here real quick, y'all. Let's see if this works. Yo, what's good, y'all? What's going on, everybody? This is what I want y'all to do. I want to welcome y'all to another one, man. This is your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here, and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people, and tonight, I'm going to do the same thing, all right? So before we get into bringing my guest on and getting into what the topic is for tonight, you know what I got to do, man. I got to give a big shout-out to all the people that download the audio version of this platform, because you all are the real MVPs. I promise y'all, it's a thing out here where they say when it comes to this platform game or when it comes to podcasting, you know, most people, they forget that it's not so much about the visual part. Yeah, the visual part is cool and all, but it's not really about that. It's the audio. That's what make your podcast what it really is. So you got to be willing to put in that extra work to focus on the audio, right? And distribute it in the audio. So that's what we do with RSS feed. So I want y'all to click the link in the descriptions, man, for RSS feed. If you guys are out there and you're thinking about doing this platform game, or you already in the game and you just want to try to figure out, you know, what's the next step, because you're doing it on video already, but you want to kind of know what the next step is. Well, the next step is owning your joint. And what that means is distributing it. And you want to get it on all the places where they do podcasting, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, everywhere that they do podcasts, you want your audio there. And that's the real deal, right? You know what I'm saying? Become a publisher, right? Treat it like a real business. You know, build a catalog. Look at it from that perspective. Don't look at it from the viral perspective or, you know, if you feel like your joint going to blow up and all that. You know what I'm saying? Just take a step back. Look at it for a business, for what it's worth, and just go ahead and stay consistent and hone in on your business. You know what I mean? Word. So double shout out to y'all, right? We got a double shout out to all the people who support the platform. So we got to give a shout out to Second Round in the building. Y'all know what to do. Click the link in the description, man. Y'all get some more information on Second Round. You know the slogan, yo, why go one when you can go a second round? You know what I'm saying? Oh, my coffee drinkers in the building. Y'all know what to do, man. Java Burn is here, man. If you need to burn a few extra calories, you need a little pep in your step. If coffee is your drink of choice, you know, I know a lot of people talk about caffeine and all this other stuff, but there's a difference between artificial and natural caffeine, right? And coffee has a bunch of natural caffeine, and a lot of us need that. You know, it's elements we need in our body. I mean, but here's the thing. If you want to burn a couple of extra calories and you're feeling that, y'all know what to do. Click the link in the description. And learn more about Java Burn. All right. So, if you're into smelling good, man, and you ain't in the alcohol version of perfumes and colognes, kind of do a little something to you, make you itchy, make you break out, and all these other things. Well, I got the solution for y'all. The makers from Aroma Air, y'all. They got all the dope fragrances out here, man, but they use an oil base, y'all. Right? Oil base mixed with aloe. So, that's what they do. Y'all know the vibe, man. So if you're into smelling good, but you can't really rock the alcohol version of different fragrances or whatever, then go check them out, man, and see what they got going on. I bet y'all will definitely be very, very pleasantly surprised and satisfied with the product, man, for real. Okay. So y'all know Collective Wear is in the building, man. Sparking Conversation merch is here, man. So if you guys know, if y'all want to support the platform, man, y'all know what to do, man. Just hit your boy up. The link is in the description, too. All right. So what I want to do is, because I am very excited, before I get into my spiel and before I bring my guests up and all that, y'all know what to do, man. I'm so excited, man. We got the new short film horror comedy coming, y'all. Look, we been rolling, right? And it's been a little struggle, man, you know what I'm saying, getting back into the filming thing because, you know, you had to take a little break, things was going on. But, you know, getting back with the crew, getting back with the team, man, and really focusing in, man, and knocking this joint out, man. So we knocked out the new short film horror comedy, man, called Kill No One, yo. Yeah, that's a crazy comedy. Yo, it's going to be so dope. I want all of y'all to check it out, man, when it drops. I'm telling y'all, it's going to drop on May 13th, Tuesday, May 13th, man. It's definitely going to drop. I want y'all to check it out. If you guys are following me, which y'all should be, right? If you're watching this on YouTube right now, please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching us on Facebook right now, you know what to do. Like the page, like your boy, yo. But listen, Kill No One, man, it's coming, man. I want y'all to check it out. Me and the crew, we got busy, man. We went ahead and knocked the short film out. And I'm super excited. I'm proud of it. And I know y'all will like it, man. It's like around 14 minutes or so. It's a short joint, but it's really dope, man. So looking forward to the release date on that and getting that out to the people, yo. Word. Okay. So, y'all know what I do, man. Before I bring my guests up, y'all know I got to give y'all my spill for the week. But this time, I'm going to do it a little differently. Normally, I give y'all my little take on certain things that's going on in the week that I feel like a lot of us don't pay attention to, but I pay attention to because that's what the platform is about, right? And I'm going to make sure I give you all that information. But I want to talk a little bit about, because I've been seeing a lot of different reviews from people saying this about the movie Sinners, right? But here's the thing, yo. I haven't seen anyone take it from this take yet. Now, I've watched a lot of them, so I don't want to come off like I'm saying I wasn't paying attention, because I've seen a lot, because so many people went to see it, right? But, you know, especially Black people, because, you know, Black-produced movie starring Black people, you know what I'm saying, produced by Black people, the whole nine, right? So, you know, I wanted to check it out and just get a feel for it myself. But I've been seeing everybody else's reviews on it, right? They was talking about the vampires, they was talking about this, they was talking about that, they was talking about the acting, talking about you know, Michael B. Jordan playing two roles at the same time, you know, all these different things that people were talking about, and the fact that it was, you know, in the horror genre. And I saw it. You know what I mean? And I see how everybody was more pleasantly surprised about how that stuff went, how it went from what it did. And it was a pretty, you know, it really got intense quickly. It wasn't like a drug out story and all that other stuff. And, but when I watched it, y'all, from what I got from it, I got a whole totally different, you know, take on it from what I think the main reviews that I saw of it, right? What I looked at was the fact that this movie was a metaphor about gifts and talents. And I know it's a lot of people out here who really don't believe in their gifts and talents, right? Because of whatever it's supposed to be attached to when it involves money, right? People put the value on things based on the monetary part of what it is. And if they not making a certain amount of money in it or whatever it is, they don't look at their gift and talent as something that could be taken from them. And what I saw when I watched that movie, it was one particular scene when the juke joint really got going and got popping. And yo, when they ran through all the genres of Black music in that one take, it was like a continuous take with the camera. It was no cuts. It was a continuous roll camera. They did that joint so sophisticated, right? And they broke down all the genres. They started with the blues, and they went over to rock, and then they went into like the classical, and then they, well, you know, like jazz, and then they went into, you know, the R&B, and then they went into like the DJ, then showed the MC, so that means hip hop, came all the way back around. But this is what it was. Although Michael B. Jordan's characters were the main guys that was responsible, the gangster and the businessman, right? We see that all the time. But when it push come to shove, all that stuff that the vampires was doing, it was after that one kid that was in there. And that was his cousin. Because of his gift of music, the way that he was able to sing, the way that he was able to play the instruments, his particular gift was a gift that they said that when you are that good at what you have, when you're that good at that talent, that it attracts evil. Now, how many of us have seen so many different things that's going on in the music business and the entertainment business with people that were that are amazing in what they do, and then for some reason they're not there no more, and all these other things happen. Look at Whitney Houston. Look at all these different people, man. We could count them. Michael Jackson. We could count Prince. All the other stuff. Even though those are different theories that they have based on their demise, and I get it. But let's just talk about all of the things about people that are great and what they had to go through in order for them to be who they are, and the stories that are told behind everybody else. And what those vampires represented those people who have the opportunity. Those people are the bloodsuckers. They make the money off of you whether you alive or you dead. They suck everything from you, and they'll turn anybody against you. They use your closest people to turn against you. You see the metaphor how they said they use women. They'll use women against you. They'll use family against you in order to get what they want from you. All that was for that one kid, yo, because they wanted him. Everybody else that recognized what was going on was trying to do what they can to protect whoever was still around, you know what I mean, outside of who couldn't get invited in. But just imagine the whole invite the vampire in, that's you signing the contract. Remember, they can't do nothing for you or nothing unless you sign the contract. That's the metaphor. So for all of y'all out there that got the gift of singing, I got the gift of emceeing, I got the gift of all these different things, acting and all these things, and you never really made it to the record industry. You never made it to Hollywood. Thank God. And I know that don't sound right, because I know a lot of people probably put a lot into wanting to become this thing that they've always dreamed about and be a part of these industries that they always dreamed about. And they think that because they didn't make it, that they weren't good enough, or that their talent wasn't good enough, or they couldn't find a way to place their music or their gift in a space where they can control it, they can own it. Yeah, you can make a living on it. Yeah, you can make enough where you can survive and do all these other things to still have time to create other multiple streams of income, right? Right? And not just have to rely on that, but be able to do the thing that you love. Yes, it is a way. And that's what I'm talking about, because of those things. These are why people are that are so heavy into drugs and so heavy into alcohol right now, because they never made where they think they were supposed to go, not knowing that they've been saved from being in a place that would have took everything from them. And then you wind up giving it away anyway, because you don't see it. And all I'm saying to y'all is that everything ain't meant for entertainment. And yes, y'all could have been entertained by the movie, and I get that. And yeah, maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I think differently. That's fine. But I saw so much in that movie and the metaphors that was used and the things that we all can apply to our life. And we can see that right now. We give our stuff away. We give our gift away. We give everything away. We got all this stuff that they was talking about the Deion Sanders son and the NFL and how they doing this and how they doing that, when none of us own a team. But think about it, when it comes down to what sells the jerseys, when it comes down to who sell the tickets to get in the arenas and all this other stuff, it's these people with this extraordinary gifts and skills to be with these balls, whether it's the pigskin or whether you running around here with the basketball like LeBron and them and all these other people. We got arguments about who's the GOATs of this and that and all that other thing, and if you really want to be real, ain't none of them the GOAT if none of them own the team. We put so much emphasis on the minute things, right? Just because of a person who making money, who cares about that? The people who own it, I say this all the time, y'all talk about certain people getting 80 million and 90 million, but damn, so how much is the person making who's signing that check then, y'all? Now imagine that. That means they making 300, 400, 500 million somewhere, yo. It ain't nothing to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't nothing to be sitting up here being so excited about because we around people or we know people that make so much money because they be able to do something. But none of them people put their money together to go own teams. So now, little man, he got to go through all this, that, and the third, where they trying to say it's racism or not. Come on, it's racism if we continue to still be in a position where we know that we don't have no power. Like, what is that? What are we doing? Little man wouldn't have that problem if we had this. Now, let's think about some of the teams that passed him up. They got you know, so-called black everything. The Steelers, look at, they got black everything. Black head coach, black, it's all that guys all over there, and they still pass them up. So this is the thing. We got to get out of that whole thing. If we not going to own nothing, then how are we going to complain about other people who feel like they want to do what they want to do with their stuff? Like, we bugging out here, and that's the point I'm trying to make. So if y'all go watch that movie, Sinners, if y'all ain't seen it yet, listen, all I'm saying to you is that I'm not saying that you won't get entertained by the way the vampires give it up and all this other stuff. The, even when it came down to in the beginning scenes when they talked about the indigenous people, they used the Indian people and all that other stuff to help you to understand how they chase these demons up out of things, because they talking about the indigenous people and how they're able to do it. Right. And so all the rest of the people, that's the only thing that he was running from. He was running from them. Right. This person that's supposed to have all power, who bullets don't do nothing to him and all that, he was running from them. So check that out in the opening scene. That ought to let you know something too about this, is what I'm saying. A lot of things run from things that they know is that thing. And so I'm talking about who you are. You are as a person. So listen, if you ain't never make it to Hollywood, then get your phone out and start making the content right now. What you waiting on? What you waiting on? You ain't never get that call for that role? All right. What role was it? What was the mood of that? All right, let's go. Huh? Let's go. Get to it. Like, what we doing? We don't have nothing else to, we there's no excuses for you. Listen, you never made it to the great, you never made it, you never put your song. All right, back. Record those records. And let me tell you, it's movies that's being produced each and every day. They always need music for soundtracks. Put your joints in there. Now you might even wind up getting an Oscar too. Remember the 3-6 Mafia, what they do. They wound up putting a song, writing a song for a movie, and the song did well in the movie, set the mood and the tone. They wound up winning an Oscar. They went and got a double. How you get a Grammy and an Oscar for one song? Come on, think about it. That should have opened everybody's eyes that this is something that's possible, y'all. If you just take control of your gift and not give it away. We've given everything away. Way all we do is spin. We don't own nothing, and now we complain and everything is racist when we racist against each other, because we still should be owning it. You know what's going on with the big three? It's having all these trouble and all this other stuff. Because why? Because look, we're not supporting it. Why? Because it ain't two other people on the court with them. Come on, y'all. This is how we move around. This is if we make this, then people don't have to always fight to get into the NBA that's coming out of high school and college. That's nice like that. That could be entertaining. That could get a name. It could sell merch. And, you know, that could go to games where ticket prices ain't all out of the world and we could still maintain. Come on, y'all. Like, I don't know. It's time, though. If y'all don't think about it these 4 years, y'all ain't. But listen, I'm going to switch it up real quick because I do got a guess. All right. And I hope y'all get my point. Y'all go watch it, man. Y'all go see. But for me, I saw so many other things outside of being entertained about no vampires coming to see, you know, how they could get this one. I saw everything else and what that was going on. And I hope y'all do too, man. If you don't, I respect it, right? Because it could be just me. But I just hope y'all, you know what I'm saying, can, you know, appreciate that assessment. And for those of y'all that do see things from a more spiritual space, right? I bet. So I got my guest coming on, man. And we're going to talk about something that I know a lot of people do every day, but we don't know if everybody does it well. We don't know if everybody does it to the point where it really helps them be motivated for the next day. And we're going to talk about sleep. And I know that's a thing that a lot of people deal with. They struggle with it because they struggle with it from a couple of different issues. You know, some people don't sleep deeply because of, you know, them having sleep paralysis, and some people can't sleep the way that they need because of the way that they breathe, and they can't, you know, they sleep on their backs, and they, you know, it's just a lot of different things that people go through where they just make it through the night, and but do they get really good rest? So tonight, my guest tonight, he an expert on how helping people to get sleep, which I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, because some of y'all lazy anyway. So if he teach y'all how to get more sleep, y'all really ain't going to get shit done. But we going to figure it out. Let me bring my guy up real quick so we can get to it.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. Hey, how you doing?
All right, my God, yeah. Paul, man. Glad to have you on the platform, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I loved everything you were saying at the start, too. I believe a lot of those same things. I haven't seen that movie yet, but ownership, owning your own stuff. That's the way to go. If you got consistency is boring, but is the best thing for you, even with sleep. So
that's how fact. You do it. Mm-hmm. All right, Bess. So before we get into it, can you do me a favor? I want you to just introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
All right. My name is Paul Bright. I am a certified sleep science coach. I also work in the North Carolina University system with a whole other different day job. I'm also an Air Force veteran. I'm here to talk about restorative sleep and how to realistically improve your sleep one night at a time, because I am somebody who went through all kinds of hot mess with my sleep for decades. Decades through military service, even after the service. But once I got everything to click and started to make sense and got educated on how sleep is supposed to work and what you're supposed to be doing with it, slowly but surely I got myself together, and I have never felt better in my life. So, and I'm happy to do it and happy to share the information.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Because, you know, when we think about sleep, right, we think about, most people don't really think that's something that they should learn to do, right?
Right.
Because it's been something they've been doing since they've been born. Right. They've been sleeping, you know? And so people have their own set of ways on how they go to sleep, how they like to fall asleep, whether it's with music, whether it's not, whether they sleep with the little things over their eyes or not. So let me ask you this. What part of your life that made you realize that sleep was an issue for you, though? Because, I mean, think about it. Like I said, people do that on their own every day. But how do you figure out something that you do every day, such like breathing? That sleep is like breathing. So
how do you
feel like that was an issue for you?
Well, when you're not getting it, for sure, is a start. I mean, it's easy when you're young. You can go party. You can do whatever you want, catch a couple hours, show up to work, be all right. You get through the day. You're just getting through the day to day. But as your lifestyle changes, as you get older, as you get more responsibilities, it's a lot harder to sneak those that sleep in there. And then your body changes, your metabolism changes. And then all of a sudden, you're not getting the sleep. And most people will tell you before you tell you, you know, they'll see you. They'll see your mood. They'll see your energy. And then we brag about it because we're so involved, like you said, in the industry and work. Like, oh, man, I only got 2 hours sleep last night and I'm still here. You know, oh, I was up all night work. I was up all night doing this. We brag about it. And then it becomes an actual crutch. And for me, I didn't realize it was a problem until I didn't even know it was sleep paralysis, because I was deployed in the military. And it was like 1999. I had been in since 97. It was 1999. And there was a whole thing. I don't know if you remember Kosovo Air and Space Campaign. It was happening over in Europe where this dictator was committing all this genocide. And so we were supporting a NATO operation. And so I ended up working in like these different time zones, different hours, different shifts. And we finally got to Germany, and I went to bed one morning. My roommates all went to work because they worked day shift and I worked the night shift. And I woke up in the middle of my sleep, but couldn't breathe, couldn't see, felt like I was getting smothered. I was trying to fight my way and scream and everything. And I finally woke up and no one was in the room, thank goodness, because I was scared. So I tried to go back to sleep, and it happened 2, 3, 4 more times, and I didn't know what it was. And in the military, like, you don't want to tell people things like that are happening to you, because they might pull you off mission. They might kick you out for medical reasons. So I didn't tell anybody until I couldn't take it. It was happening weekly, and all the way until maybe, I think, December of 99 is when I finally told my doctor. And she was like, well, I don't know. I think it's sleep paralysis. She printed out some sheets and it was like, don't sleep on your back and, you know, work and day shift. I'm like, you don't tell anybody in the military when you're going to, I need to work this shift, you know, so that doesn't happen. So that's when it first became a problem for me, and it stuck with me for a long time until I got an opportunity to learn a little more about what's going on. Because, like, when you don't know, you're most likely you're scared, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But so, so okay. So whenever that has happened, people have called that something different.
Yeah.
Right? What you would call sleep paralysis. They'll say something like there was a witch riding their back, yep, or mm-hmm, or riding them in that particular sense. And some people even have said that they heard voices and different, yeah, things while, yeah, they're trying to do things or trying to pray and all of these other things, and feeling pressure when they get to certain words and different things like that. So, mm-hmm, there are people who've expressed this and explained this in a way where, I guess I've just been fortunate enough to be able to hear stuff like that and don't judge people. But you're right. Mm-hmm. You can't really tell people a lot of stuff like that because they'll think something wrong with you, or you,
right,
are something is following you. You know what I mean? Like, people, yeah, have a crazy way of looking at spiritual stuff, yo.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how did you deal with that first before I ask this next question? Because then I want to know, yeah, how did you know it wasn't that? Because some people... It is that. That's what, yeah, for them. You know?
Yeah, I heard a lot of that. And I found out of other people that I knew that it had those same experiences. And I can tell you, for myself, I never had that experience. I had been dreaming at times when the sleep paralysis attacks would happen, but I never felt like there was a demon or anything. And I'm a non-denominational Christian. I know there's spiritual warfare. I know those things are happening. But my experience was that those things did not happen to me. So I can't tell somebody else, well, that wasn't it. That didn't happen to you. I can just tell you medically what's happening when sleep paralysis is happening, the more and more I learned about it. And because of that, I was able to get myself, without even being certified at the time, from having these weekly attacks all the way down to like maybe it's 5 or 6 times a year, and I'm not even scared. I usually even know when it's going to happen because of certain circumstances. So basically, me learning about what was happening medically, I was like, oh, okay, that's what's happening. But I never had the demon or witch experience that people have had. But there is a theory as to why some people may be having those, though.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So with that, that was the only way it was ever explained to people, maybe, because you said, mm-hmm, it was something medically. So, mm-hmm, did you, when that was happening to you, you went to go research it medically, or did you tell somebody and they gave you a version that led you into what to do? Because like I said, there's never been a person that has said that has happened to them, and the first thing they thought about was, let me find out what's going on medically.
Let me find out what's going on with my sleep. Absolutely. And right, because like if your arm is sore and you didn't hit it on anything, you're gonna look that up. You're not gonna think, oh man, something's possessing my arm. You know, you're gonna, yeah, look it up. You're gonna do your YouTube research, all stuff. All this was happening to me before there was YouTube, so I really didn't have any way to really research this. And I was in the military at the time, so I was clearly busy. But it was a matter of opportunity, because that had been going on pretty much weekly all the way. And then when 2006, I was stationed in Charleston all the way till about 2006. Then I got stationed in California, Travis Air Force Base, and I was a jet engine mechanic. I fixed engines on the C-17, but we didn't have any planes there yet. And so our commander was like, well, if anybody wants to go to school, you know, now's a good time before the planes start getting here, because we're building up this unit for it. And I already had an undergrad degree. And so I was like, well, let me take some grad school classes. And when I started taking grad school classes, that gave me access to peer review journals of all kinds. So I was like, well, shoot, maybe I can find some knowledge about what's going on with my sleep. And that is when I started learning about how sleep is supposed to work. And then, right, I started learning about what's actually happening as far as the sleep scientists could tell with sleep paralysis. Likely what's happening, not necessarily why, but what's happening, and then the things that could contribute to it. And that is when I started making the changes, like, well, now that I know this, I don't have to be scared of it. And now I got to figure out what to do to keep that situation from happening. It's like, once you learn, that's your opportunity to do something about it and be patient about it. So that's how it, right, started for me. And then by 2018, I had worked it down to where it wasn't happening, but maybe 5 or 6 times a year. So, and I can live with that.
Okay. So all right. So you were able to figure it out and medically, but did you have to have assistance medically, like with medicine and different, yep, things like that? Or was it based on your lifestyle?
It was triggering
you to,
yeah, have that. Well, one thing I did, I had to get a sleep test because when I had this looked at, because I told the doctor after I got out of the military, and he was like, well, we can do a sleep test. And that took a long time to get it scheduled and get in. And they ruled out sleep apnea. So once they ruled out that there was I wasn't stopping breathing in my sleep much, it was like maybe 13 times an hour. People with sleep apnea, it's like 300 times an hour. Because sometimes that's a trigger. Once that was ruled out, it was just a matter of trying to make lifestyle changes based on what I was learning. So I never had to take a medication to make this work. And I wish if I had known when I got certified, like why the things I did were working, why the things that didn't work didn't work, I probably could have kicked this in the butt like much sooner. But I didn't know what I didn't know at the time. And so it was like, oh, that's why that worked. Because I would read it, I would try it. And some things would work and some things wouldn't, but it was more like sticking to it and keeping trying until something clicked for my lifestyle that worked. And so now I have it down when I work with clients and even groups, I talk about like four areas in your life where no matter what you're going through with your sleep, no matter why your sleep is not good, like four areas where you can take control and make things better for yourself.
Okay. Bad. Because like I said, you know, that's fairly new, you know, like that's why I was saying it was been a great, interesting to have a conversation with you about this, because there's not very many people who specialize in sleep,
right?
Because it's almost like you teaching somebody how to walk that already know how to walk, ride a bike that already know how to ride a bike, right? It's just that they might have their own style of how it works, but they know how to do it, right? So that's why I'm asking you based on that, because you've experienced sleep paralysis, but you haven't experienced it in a way where you correlate it to something spiritual. Whereas other people have experienced sleep paralysis and they equated it to something spiritual.
Right.
Because like you said, even with now with having access to everything, most people still wouldn't be the first thing to think about looking up because of how many stories have been passed down about what has happened. Because what we tend to think about a lot of times is when we go through things like we're the only ones going through it, right? There's certain things that happen to people in their lives where they feel like they're the only one. It don't matter because it's just them. And then you realize like, nah, it's not. It's a bunch. Like you said, you didn't have the internet when you was researching, but you had journals of research from other people. Now people got it right in their phone.
Right.
But if you don't ask Google, which Google was always AI, so all this stuff people was talking about being scared.
I told people
AI
has been around forever. They just didn't have those letters to it. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They just repackage and repurpose everything and regurgitate the same thing, and people just fall for it. But either way, so that's what I'm saying. So, you know, as a person who has dealt with sleep paralysis in a way where you was able to figure it out from a medical perspective, how many people came to you that you've helped so far that looked at it from the more spiritual space before they, and allowed you to be able to help them to get through whatever they're going through with their sleep?
Yeah, it's hard to say how many people, because a lot of times I'm in forums answering questions about it. There are forums that are believed that like that still, you know, they talk about these succubuses and demons and stuff like that. And again, I'm not going to tell somebody that they're not having that experience. That's on them. You know, I had my panic attacks. I had my insomnia. I had my sleep paralysis. But people do ask, and the medical part that I can speak to is this. So a lot of people know about REM, like the rapid eye movement part of your sleep, but some people don't know what's actually happening there. And what science has told us so far is that that is when your brain is sorting out memories of what to keep, what not to keep. And to me, that's why sometimes your dreams will be having people in there that shouldn't be in there at that era. It's like, why are you with this era of my life? Because like, I didn't meet you till 20. It's all mixed up. So I could see where if you're becoming conscious in your sleep while that's happening, where you may be seeing things that are not happening because your brain is becoming conscious when it shouldn't be coming conscious, either when you're coming into REM or out of REM. And that's a state that happens. Like if you're having good sleep, like 3-4 times a night, maybe even more than that, So I could see where, like, you know, if you're a horror movie fan, or if you've been scared about things, or you're always talking about, you know, or you've been surrounded by spiritual warfare and beware of this and that, where your imagination could make you feel like, because you're becoming awake when your body is supposed to be where it's at. So when you're in sleep paralysis, like the medical part of sleep paralysis, your body's not supposed to be moving. Your body's supposed to be at that state where you have a low heart rate. You're not moving, so you don't roll over and hurt yourself in your sleep while your body's recovering and all that. How do I explain this to people? You watch any, like, the Star Wars, the newer stuff, Mandalorian, all those things?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You remember the Bacta tank where, like, every time Boba Fett or someone get hurt, they put him in this big tank and that's where they heal.
Right.
Yep. That's what your body is supposed to be doing when it's doing that. You're not supposed to be awake while it's happening, though. And so when you're having a sleep paralysis attack, you're awake while your body's not supposed to be moving. So imagine those two things happening. You're aware of it, and your brain is sorting through crazy memories at the same time.
Gotcha. You
could probably see some things.
Well, here's another part to that, right? So you have people who have it from that end of the spiritual spectrum, right? Where they feel like it's something evil. But then you have those who are into the information based on astral projecting.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? Where your actual spirit can live outside of your body for a certain amount of time as you go and come in these different places and stuff like that. And then you meet yourself back at yourself at a certain time. Right? So this is another experience that people are having when it comes to sleep, when it comes to sleep paralysis, because sometimes someone comes in and tries to wake them abruptly when they're not fully back from their astral projection trip. So then that can perceive to be a sleep paralysis too, when they're trying to get back to themselves and not fully there, and then they're trying to be awakened, but their body and their functions is not fully in their control at the moment because they're not fully back in themselves yet, because a person is abruptly waking them out of that REM sleep that you're talking about, or that deep sleep that you're talking about. Yeah. So that's another level of where people deal with sleep paralysis as well, outside of that. So what I'm saying is that for you, it's unique. Right? Because you were able at a time where, you know, internet wasn't readily available like that, able to get information to be able to help yourself. Whereas there have been people who've had to go through these particular things and only be able to tell certain people, or to find niche-based platforms that talk about this stuff in order for them to get these things out of them. Because think about it. There's people who've been holding stuff inside of them that they were able to do when they were children that they can't do anymore because of the way that they suppressed it, because they thought it was something wrong with them, versus feeling like this was a gift and it was something that was good about them.
Yeah.
And it's like anything they say, if you don't use it, you can lose it. Right? So that's the metaphor about X-Men that a lot of people don't get either, when it comes down to what Professor X's role was. What his role was, to help people to learn how to control their gift.
Yes.
Because when people didn't learn how to control it, they either lost it, right? Or they were destructive with it. Again, that's the same thing about having emotional intelligence. Same thing going back to what I was saying about Sinner. It's so much about that movie that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, when I can't wait to see it now.
But what I'm saying to you is that, how often are you dealing with people who have come to you from that perspective when it comes to sleep paralysis? Because there are a lot of people out here who really feel they astral project at night.
Yeah, I don't have people coming to me for help with that, because they like it. They like having that opportunity to be in that world. They're not necessarily trying to. I've been in forums where people aren't trying to cure it. They're trying to see, how do I get better at this? Because I want to go to where these other people are going with their astral projection and see the things that they see and come back. So they don't necessarily want help with it. So I wouldn't have a conversation necessarily with somebody that's like, you know, they're not going to come to me because they're not trying to have it fixed. You know, they're not necessarily scared of it happening. They want to know how to control it because they live in that world. That's perfectly fine. It's like anything else. There's people that have what we would call a mental health disorder that once it's controlled and reined in, it works for them. So they don't necessarily need want it cured or fixed. They just want to be able to have a harness on it, and they work on keeping a harness on it and using it the right way. Why fix it?
No, I mean, I get that. I get that perspective. I just know that when it comes down to sleep, that's what I'm saying. It's very unique at what you do. Because there's so many different mindsets that when it comes to sleep paralysis of just that particular part about learning how to get through having good sleep, because, you know, people, it's hard for people to sleep when they're scared too.
One of the people I work with now is like that. She's been dealing with stalkers, like actual real life person stalking her, and that's made her so paranoid that she can't sleep the way she wants to. And when that happens, like, she has these sleep paralysis attacks. And the more she has control of her anxiety from everything before she goes to bed, the less of that happens for her. But it's definitely a challenge.
Because, you know, there's so many, like we said, like so many different things that people go through that affects their sleep that will affect them. And then there was so many movies about that. Like, you know, when it came down to the Nightmare on Elm Street once, everything was based on, you know, your sleep and what happens to you in your sleep and your dreams, and how people, you know, sometimes they don't wake up from their dreams because they things that happen to them in their dreams somehow translate into their real life. And, you know, they're not here. So, but that also goes back to the whole astral projection thing about your body. I mean, with your spirit being able to leave your body and go into different dimensions, because how else can a person hurt you in a space that you're not really supposed to be, only in spirit, because if you sleep. Right. So what made Freddy Krueger such a scary thing is that it affected people to where the point where they didn't go to sleep. So the more they stayed up, the worse their sleep was, because they were too busy fighting and trying not to go to sleep in order not to die. And they wound up dying, staying woke. So
becoming drowsy.
Then they die, right? Yep. They scared to go to sleep because they die. That's the same. And so that's the same thing that I was saying about sin, is about your gift. You got to use your gift. Now, if you give your gift away, the people going to suck you dry.
Yes.
But if you hold on to your gift and use it, then you still live in your purpose. I'm telling you, man, it's a lot.
I bet.
It's a lot.
You mentioned, even on that topic, you mentioned Prince. You know, I'm a huge Prince fan. And when he started his music career, he was one of the few people where they let him produce, write all these things. They let him have complete control, because a lot of folks didn't know, even back then, like, what you heard on the radio, it may have started one way with the songwriter or the performer, but a lot of people had their hands in what came out, and it wasn't necessarily what the artist wanted. But he was one of those fortunate ones that they could see the talent and let him do what he needed to do. But that whole part about the whole writing the slave on his face and changing his name, a lot of that was because he didn't necessarily lose his control, but the people that he had good handshakes with in the industry, like, they were out of there and these other people came in. So he fought really hard to say, I'm going to own all my stuff. I'm going to get all my masters back. And even the ones that don't have control, I'll make new music. I'll do stuff under my name that's mine. And he wouldn't even work with other artists that didn't own their masters, even if he liked them. That was his big thing. He was like, if you don't own your stuff, then whose is it? And so he started making a lot more money when he cut out all those folks, because he wrote off of his name and his talent. And so a lot of his deals, when I saw him in concert, the Hit and Run tour, it was a deal between him and the stadium. It wasn't no Live Nation. It wasn't the record label. It was him in the stadium. And even the record labels that he was doing, it was distribution deals. So it's like, no, I'm doing all my stuff, but we're going to split the cost of distribution and all that. Even bands like ICP, rap groups like ICP, it was the same thing. They owned all their stuff. And so you don't have to, if you're talented enough. And even in today's time, I don't know how old you are. I'm in my early 50s, but you think about all the opportunities people have now to do their own thing without needing a big promotion, a big record label person, people that blow up just straight off of their talent because they got on TikTok and YouTube and did stuff consistently, not went viral for one thing, but consistently. Exactly. They're hitting the marks and they're getting famous for the right reasons. And if they own all their stuff, they can do it in their own space, you know.
That's right. And that's why I preach that, man, because you'd be surprised at how many people would be so willing to give their stuff away just to look a certain way. Right? Fame is the biggest drug out there. They talk about all this other stuff, but fame is the worst drug ever. And that was ever created was fame, because people will give their soul away for some fame, for people just to know who they are and everybody to look at them a certain way. And they'll give it away. They'll give their gift away. They'll give their talent away. And then there's those, like I said, who are no longer in their right mind because they allowed themselves to try to escape life because they think that they failed at not being able to reach a certain pinnacle with their gift and talent because they always believed in it. Not knowing they were spared, like their life was spared, they were saved. They didn't have to go through all these different rituals. You would have landed the ears and eyes of these particular people that are in the news right now. Like, you got to think about it. Your talent is that good. But some of us, right, we have certain things that are protecting us. Now, for me, I get where you're coming from when it comes down to the sleep from the science perspective. I also get when it comes down, well, medical science, I guess same thing, but I also get the people who go through things based on the spiritual sense, right? Because I feel like life is a balance of both, right? So let's talk about this for a little bit, because I know that you have the knowledge on sleep. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the different ways that people can get better sleep if they're dealing with things like sleep paralysis and things. Right. What can people do?
All right. So what I learned through a lot of trial and error, through consistency, is there are four areas in your life where you have the most control and affect your sleep as much as you can control it, no matter what's going on. Like, even now, I still have trouble sleeping certain nights because I have certain pains from military service or whatever. But there's four areas. There's your nutrition, what you put in your body, because no matter what you want to do, where you're trying to go, you need to fuel it with the right nutrition. Your body and circulation, like how you're using your body all day long, how you're doing your circulation, your bedroom setup. How is your bedroom set up? Not just for when you go to sleep, but throughout the night. That's something that people miss. And then also your mindset before you go to sleep, your mind space. Like, where is your head at all the way, not just 2 minutes before you want to go to bed, but like the hour before the bed, 2 hours before the bed? Did you clear up those conversations of, oh man, I should have said this or should have did that? Did you lock all the doors? Did you handle all your business that you needed to handle for your life throughout the day so that 2 hours before you go to bed, you ain't got to think about it anymore? When you can get those things as aligned as much as possible within your control, within your own lifestyle, then you can start really making changes. It's like people that wanna lose weight,
right?
But they think they got to do P90X and all these crazy programs, but they ain't walking. Like, are you even walking? Mm. You know, you can't out-train a bad diet. If you really want to exercise and lose weight and you go to the gym, but you're still eating the things you know that you're not supposed to be eating, you're not helping yourself. So when you can get to the areas where you absolutely have your hands in, that you have more control over, not necessarily everything, but as much as you can, that's when your sleep starts getting better. And so for me with sleep paralysis, my problem was that I was going to bed at all kinds of hours of the night. Never the same time. And the reason why that started was because when I was working in the Air Force, I would be in Spain 1 month and maybe Germany another, and then this crazy island out in the, you know, South Indian Ocean another, and then back at home. But then I'm on day shift for 6 months, then night shift. So my brain and my body had no idea for a long time, like, what time was everything supposed to happen? I'm drinking coffee at 3 a.m. to stay awake. But then 3 weeks later, like, oh, we need to put you on day. So there was a lack of consistency with what time I was going to bed, even when I was out of the Air Force. So it was still a problem. And so the first step I had to do was force myself to go to bed the same time every night. That was the first big step for me. because I was like, that's what I learned. Like, you're right. You have to have a rhythm. Like, that's your rhythm. You start your show the same night every Tuesday. So I know you got a rhythm. Like, it has to happen. You can't just record whenever you want. You're not, you know, unless you got 500 million followers that want to know what you're doing at every hour. Like, that's, so you have to set a rhythm for yourself. And for me, I had to pick a time and stick with it. And it was scary and it sucked. And for 2 weeks straight, I was going to bed, eyes open, like, okay, am I really going to do this? But eventually I got used to it. And then I started to want it more. And so then I had to start looking at the other things. What's the next thing? Well, you got to stop this caffeine, because I read that caffeine is not bad for you, but if it's not out of your system by bedtime, you're not going to sleep well. I was like, well, how long does that take? Well, that takes 10 hours from when you last had your last sip. Okay, well, that means I got to stop drinking by noon if I want to go to bed at 10. And I love caffeine. I'm interested in that Java Burn, actually, that I saw. I was like, well, that looks good. You know, I love coffee. You know, I drink coffee every morning, but I don't need it. I don't need it to wake me up, and I don't need it to get me through the day. I don't need it for that reason. I just love it. So I can go 2-3 hours after I wake up before I make a cup. So once I got that going, then everything started to fall into place. Like, well, maybe I need to eat better. Maybe I need to exercise more so that I'm too tired to think about anything else. You know, for a lot of people that come to me for help, a lot of times it's, they say, I can't go to sleep because I got racing thoughts. I'm so worried about sleep, I can't sleep. What app should I use? You know, they have all these worries and stuff. And so I try to help them look at their life and see where they can tackle those worries and all that, and then get their brain empty to not think about much of anything, even not even thinking about going to sleep, but going to bed at the same time, doing the same things that are very low key. And you have to do it like every day. You have to do something, because if you try something one night and it don't work, that's the easy way to give up. You know, well, and then it's, well, like, that didn't work. You know?
let me say this. So I had a lady on, a while ago, and her specialty was in your gut, right? Oh, so she owned a clinic where they did colonics and you know all of those different type of things, anything that had to do with that, colonoscopies, all that other stuff she did in her clinic. And she wrote a book saying shit is not a bad word, right?
Yeah.
And so she travels around doing, you know, workshops and speaking to people about it, helping them to understand a lot of things that's going on in their life is because of what's going on in their stomachs, right? Yeah. So we talked a lot about that. And a lot of it that she was saying that your gut even affects sleep.
Yes.
So another reason why people having bad sleep or up and down in their sleep or can't really get sleep is because of their gut. It's things in their body that they haven't purged, right? Because, you know, most people have not looked into a couple of things. Like, most people haven't looked into cleanses, because what they'll do is we'll consider a fast just not eating a certain thing. Right. Or, you know, some people may say it's about eating a certain time, but they don't understand that, you know, fasting, you got to add a few things with it. Right. Because that's one. Secondly is parasites. Right. A lot of people are not into understanding that parasites are the big cause of a lot of things that go on in people when it comes to their gut, and their gut is where it all starts from. So what she was suggesting is that once people get better control of their gut health, then everything else falls in place. Their skin, their sleep, their everything falls into place, because once you get your gut, then your body is not overworking, right? Your immune system is constantly in overdrive because of the parasites and toxins that are in your body based on the things that you eat, right? Yes. And the lack of exercise that people are afraid to do. Like, most women retain water, but they don't sweat. And you see the women that go to the gym and do all these other things, they don't retain water like an average woman does that doesn't sweat on an average, right? So a lot of these things affect their sleep, and it starts with the gut. So what I wanted to say to you is that in your experience, has that been something that you had to focus on with a client, was their health part first?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the first things I do. And it's so funny, because a lot of times what ends up being the solution for the clients I've worked with starts when I just start asking them those questions. I ask a lot of nutrition questions, like, just tell me what you're eating, you know, because there's certain vitamins and minerals that, I mean, everybody knows they need their vitamins and minerals, but people, I know healthy people, quote unquote, healthy people that are missing the ones that help you the most with sleep.
Exactly. Because
your sleep, your endocrine system produces the hormones that help you during the day to make it easier to sleep at night. It produces your serotonin, your endorphins, your dopamine, all these things that keep you like calm and eased. Even cortisol is supposed to be in your body, but it's supposed to be out a certain time. Guess where a lot of that's produced? In your gut.
In your gut.
In your gut. And so if you are not eating enough of the right foods, then and you're inviting parasites in, you know, if you've got too much, you know, like white refined sugar or whatever, and it's not helping you go absorb the vitamins and minerals that you might be getting out of food, then that could be a problem. And it's hard because some people will just cold turkey quit, like, well, I'm not eating no more of those cheeseburgers. You might have been getting the protein you needed with the cheeseburgers, you know, and all that. And you're trying to get rid of all the other bad stuff, but you still need that protein. You still need these other things. So if you're not replacing it with the good stuff, then it makes it hard. And I'm glad you said that, because on my show a couple of seasons ago, I interviewed a gut health specialist, and, you know, he was saying the same exact things. And so we talked about it, and he had given me some suggestions to try. I was like, oh yeah, let me try that. It took me 6 months, but when I started doing it, I could feel a difference, and I already get good sleep. You know, I started eating nothing but like fruit in the morning, you know, not even coffee, like just until later. And just even plates of that, I was like, I'm actually full and I feel good, and everything else processed better. But yeah, that gut health is huge.
It's huge, right?
Yeah.
It changes everything in your life, your mood. Yeah. It changes the way that you even receive things, like you receive things better. And I think based on information is received better when your gut is better. Like, that's why I like to talk to a lot of the guys when I'm around them, is about working out, right? About going to the gym, about working out, because it's not so much about looking good, but it's more about, you know, taking care of your vessel, right? Because if you can take care of that, you know, that also shows other people outside of you. If you're in a space of leadership, whether it's in your home or businesses or anything, they also show that if you'll take care of yourself, you can help take care of other people.
Yes.
Because very seldom can somebody who can't take care of themselves help anybody else.
You can't pour out of an empty cup. You cannot pour out of an empty cup. Right? You got to take care of yourself. Yeah.
And you have to focus on the things that you may not think is important, because like you said, you've been doing it all your life. People been eating all their life, whatever they've been eating, right? Mm-hmm. They've been sleeping all their life, wherever they've been sleeping. They've been doing all these other things all their life. So when you could come in and you can tell them, like, hey, I mean, I see what you're doing, but do you want to do that a little bit better?
Yeah.
Or do you want to feel a little bit better about what you're doing?
Right.
And then give people the choice. But there's so many things that we learn in hindsight that, if we could have just known in the beginning, you know how many people probably would still be alive if they just known that they might have needed to take care of their gut? Like,
really? Just, take care of their gut.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to be like going to the gym and exercising and being like a gym rat or a weight bro. Like, I tell people, like, you know, I got out of the Air Force and, you know, there was natural exercise because we had to, you know, we had to run every week. We, you know, maintenance, all this physical stuff. Like, it was fine. And I had a desk job for a long time and I didn't go to the gym. And then I was going from my desk job to grad school and I put on hella weight. I put on like 20, 30 pounds. And I was like,
it wasn't
the good type of weight. And what changed me was almost funny, because where we were living, like, you know, people put stuff in your mailbox, and I got this whole senior citizens get into Planet Fitness for a discount. I was like, I ain't that old, you know, and I said, so, well, let me just go check this out. And so I started going and decided I was not ready for the gym yet. I was like, so start off with body weight exercise, and it was a little bit more, and then I started going to the gym, and I lost. It was funny because I got down to a weight that I had been before, but I had lost a shirt size and lost a pant size and a half. And I was like, this is crazy. I had been this number before and did not feel this good. And I've been fortunate, like with all the things that have happened to me, I've been able to keep pretty much all that weight off for 10 years. And it's been a little up, a little bit down, but what's been consistent is that I try to exercise, and it's not big lifting because I got too many little injuries to be big lift or anything like that. It could be walking. It could be stretching. It could be resistance. It could be this. Just doing right. something, you know, because just movement. Just movement.
You got to do that. You got to do that. And you so got to bust a sweat.
Yeah. So now I can be here to help my mom, who's older, when I go see her moving stuff around her house. I can be here for that. My family doesn't have to worry about me taking this med or that med, you know, because right. I'm getting my sleep. I'm eating mostly decent, you know, and I try to exercise. And right. It's amazing that it is a lot of focus time. People think they don't have time for things. You usually do have time for a lot of things if you put yourself first for it. Because about what you give up to go help a friend who's like, can you come over here real quick for 2 hours and help me? Oh, sure. Well, can you help yourself for 2 hours next week? Oh, I ain't got time. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know.
Yeah. And we do that every day for bills. Yeah. Like, you know, like the number one thing that motivates people on a day-to-day basis is bills. Like they just want to be able to pay their bills. So they do everything they can to pay their bills, although while making someone else wealthy. We've never understood that concept. So whenever you don't take time out for yourself, you're only hurting yourself. It ain't the people who is taking up your time. You're giving them away all your time, right? Because think right. about it. You can get in the gym for a good 30 minutes, yo, a 30 to 40 minutes, even 20 minutes. Like you can do 15, 20 minutes every day and get what you need. You know, you got to get your body in a place of staying active, like you said, but you know, put some tension on yourself, right? But these are things that people got to want for themselves, right? Because you could give them all this information and then for some reason, they'll feel more judged than they do empowered to get better.
That's why I don't tell people they need more sleep. My list is of people who want it, that they want that extra hour. They want that extra half hour. The book that I wrote was 12 steps. It's like sleep reset in 12 steps. It's like, how can I get better sleep? Not you, if you don't get this, you're going to die. You know, look, we all know when we're not getting enough sleep, but some people, they lost an hour, they lost a two. They want to figure out, how do I get that back and still live the life that I want to live? Okay.
Right.
So those are the folks that come to me are the ones that want the education, they want the help. And because they know I'm not going to say, take this one vitamin or this one special crazy tea and it's going to change. No, it's not true. It helps for certain people that have that certain ailment that where that could help them. But right, if I can help you look at your life and give you the thing that you said you wanted help with, that's who I'm here for. I'm not here to tell everybody that if you're not sleeping, you know, you're not going to know. If you want it, I'm here for you.
You're here for you. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So with that being said, let's do that before we get out of here. Let's tell everybody that may be watching tonight and that watch the playback, well, will watch the playback, that may be struggling with sleep.
Yes.
Right? And they may need some information where it's not where you took the research to find out the different ways that people have been losing sleep, right? Because that's what they really are doing. They're losing sleep and dealing with sleep paralysis in a way where you can give them a more medical, outlook or perspective of it, right?
Yeah.
So tell the people how they can reach you for those that may be dealing with sleep issues.
Absolutely. You can just go straight to my website, sleepyoudeserve.com. It's that simple. It's because you deserve sleep. Sleepyoudeserve.com. And the page you're going to land on is going to show my book, but you can sign up and get 2 free chapters. Easy. Because like, I'm not just going to be like, oh, just go buy my book. Yeah, great. If you do, that's great. You're supporting me. But I really want you to get the help that you want and see if that's for you. But at the bottom, once you sign up and you get that email at the bottom, there's another place where you can sign up and you can subscribe. And every week you will get sleep information for every week. Seriously, every week you get something from me. And then there's even another free book in there that's easy. Sleep 101, how sleep is supposed to work. You get in a very short but understandable guide of like what is supposed to be happening with sleep. It's like, how do you really know what's supposed to be happening if you don't know what the standard is, you know? This is what's supposed to be happening while you sleep, then you can start looking at, well, how do I get to that place on your own? And you can start building your own things if you want, just because you learned this is what's supposed to be happening when I sleep. My body core temperature is going to drop, so I need to make sure the room is cool. I have to keep things dark, so that, because every few hours you're going to naturally wake up and you're going to open your eyes and stuff. So if the room is too light, you got people blaring music and all these things, that's going to trigger you to stay up. And so when you learn what's actually supposed to be happening, then it's easier to launch and figure out things for yourself. But every week you get something free from me about sleep. So you can do that. Free chapters, free emails, a free guide. Like, here you go. Take this knowledge. I want people around me to sleep better. I don't want to deal with moody people. Like,
right. Hey, well, listen, I feel you on that, man. You know, doing your part. And that's, that was another thing I was going to tell people. You know, make sure people understand that you do have literature out there. You have some free things, and you also have a book for sale that people probably can get a lot of information where it'll help them. Because investing in yourself, there's really no price on investing in yourself, right?
Right.
Because a person that buys your book, they're supporting you, but they're helping themselves, right?
Absolutely. Cheaper than a pill. I'm way cheaper than a copay.
Cheaper
than trying all these things. I'm way cheaper than all the hours lost from work because you couldn't be fully. I've talked to work groups. That's been my most fun part, was being able to talk and educate people at work, because they're looking at their coworkers like, yeah, he ain't getting no sleep. I can tell, you know. So the bosses have had me come in and talk to them. And that's been great too. So I love that.
Yeah, facts, man. Well, look, I'm glad you came on, man. Like I said, it was an interesting show, man, because people have been dealing with sleep in different ways, especially sleep paralysis. With all the information that they just been giving us, been passed down. So to have you on and to say, hey, man, you know, some of you guys might be dealing with sleep from a different space. And, you know, I think it's dope. I think it's dope, man. Mm-hmm. And man. And so I hope people reach out to you. I want to wish you continued success. And we need to have you on with a couple of other people. I'm doing some panels coming up, man, where we're going to have different experts on for different things. Yeah. We want to talk, because I think you, and then we talk to some of the people who deal with people from the spiritual space of sleep. It'll be a great conversation. Absolutely. Right? You know what I mean? It'll be a great conversation to have, so people could get like an all-around balance of how they can actually take control of their life and get better sleep. Absolutely. Because people even look better when they sleep more, or they sleep better, right? They look better. It shows in their skin. Yeah. They're more alert. Their brain is really fully functioning because they're actually resting and giving it a chance to reset. So, man, I hope everybody that's watching tonight, y'all got a lot of info out of it. Shout out to all of you guys that gave comments tonight, right? Make sure y'all hit my boy Paul up, man, if you got any more questions concerning sleep. Yes. And you would like to get on his newsletter, where you get every week you get information about sleep and all those other things as well, too. And for all of y'all that always follow me each and every week, y'all know what we're doing. We're going to keep continuing to bring y'all some of the world's most interesting people. And next week, I got another amazing guest for y'all. So I want y'all to join me right here, man. If you're watching me right now on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification button so you know when we're going live every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching us on LinkedIn, if you're watching us on Facebook right now, just make sure y'all hit the like button. And let's just keep this thing going, man. I want to make sure that I keep giving y'all the information and giving it out to the people, because that's what Sparking Conversation is about. So double shout out to you, Paul. Double shout out to all the people that watch tonight. And remember, y'all, if y'all don't do nothing else, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, peace.
Yeah.